Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on over there, check that out. Of course, while you're over there, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, there. There we go. We are rolling along now. Are you happy about that?
Sure.
No? Okay. So, yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, not even, you know, really sure where to start today. I mean, I guess, you know, we talked about it a little last night. I didn't watch a minute of it. I wouldn't turn it on if you probably would have paid me. Well, maybe if you'd have paid me enough, I would have turned it on. But I see that the Rockets still found a way to lose to the Warriors last night. But I didn't hear a lot of crying, and I did look into the box score, and the Warriors were actually called for two more fouls than the Rockets were, and I'm sure a couple of those Rocket fouls were so late when they were just fouling guys to go to the free throw line. What's their excuse this time, Dan? What are they using because they got beat? Whose fault is it? No, it's not their own.
The floor was slippery?
Maybe. It was a road game, so it is possible there were some shenanigans. So, you know, that could definitely happen. So, but, yeah, I got a kick out of that. You know, at this point in time, I just want to see the Warriors sweep and send Houston away. I don't know if it will work, you know, if that will happen, because they are going back to Houston. And, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, they are a really good offensive team. Hart doesn't, you know, couldn't even spell defense if he had to. So, you know, it's always interesting that a guy can win the MVP and only play half of the game. So, but, you know, I don't have a vote, and all we see is, you know, offense, offense, offense. That other stuff no longer matters. So, sorry, guys. Just learn to shoot the three. If you're a kid out there listening, just learn to shoot the three. You don't have to do anything else as long as you can hit the three. And you can have a very long career in the NBA. So, you will definitely be all set. So, and I think I believe the Bucks got back on track last night as well. Kind of I thought it ended up being a pretty easy win over the Celtics. I completely forgot to turn that game on. I was actually watching the hockey game, Columbus and Boston, and that was a really good game. But yeah, the Bucks won 123-102. So that series is even again at one game apiece. We have some of that odd NBA scheduling going on now, Dan, because obviously, as you know, Golden State and Houston played last night, which was Tuesday, right? My math is correct there. Their game three matchup now, you ready for this? Isn't until Saturday. So we wonder why these playoffs go so long into June. You know what my guess is ABC said, hey, this is the series we want in prime time on Saturday, so make sure it gets there. And the NBA went, yes, right away. We'll get it right there to Saturday for you. We don't care if we have to give them an entire week off. I'm honestly surprised that they just haven't played every game on Saturday so ABC could put it in prime time. So, yeah, it's one of those fun. And even, like, Milwaukee and Boston get the extra day. They don't play again until Friday. So I guess maybe the NBA thinks that travel is difficult in this, you know, and you need an extra day to get from Milwaukee to Boston. You know, I don't know, maybe they think guys are taking an Uber or something there, or maybe they called Lyft and it's just going to take a little longer to get there. So you work in that extra travel day. It's not like the 1900s when baseball started out and they took the train everywhere. We do fly to these places now, and I believe most teams have their own planes. So I don't think travel is an issue. But, this is just another reason to add why I dislike the NBA. I mean, good Lord, why, with the exception of TV, why the hell do we got to stretch this stuff out? It's ridiculous. So, you know, and then the only game tonight we do have Portland at Denver in game two of that series. I believe, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know who won game one. I think it was Denver, but I just care so little about it that I honestly just don't know. So, you know, well, I'll have to look here, but you know, since it's raining out, my internet is a little fuzzy and, you know, it doesn't want to be my friend sometime. So we'll have to see on that. You know who won that first game? I'm sure you watched every minute of it, didn't you?
Denver.
See? I knew. So, yeah, but another game, you know, I don't want. I could care less who wins that game or any of that other stuff. So, you know, now, did you turn any of these games last night? I mean, obviously, you know, I didn't, but did you find your way around to any of them to check a score or watch a few minutes or see how many fouls got called on the Rockets last night?
No, I didn't waste my time. I was like you watching hockey.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then speaking of, you know, good old hockey, I believe, obviously, you know, the second game starts so late in the NHL that I don't get to see any of them. But the first game had, you know, it was Columbus and Boston, and that was a really, really good game. Sergei Bobrovsky, who is the Blue Jackets goaltender, stopped 35 of 36 shots as Columbus won 2-1. And Tuukka Rask was just as good for, you know, Boston. He just, you know, they got the second one by him, and it was, it was a really nice up and down. Both teams had lots of really good scoring chances. Yeah, I was, you know, I missed the end of the game because obviously, you know, I had to wander off the bed, but at least I didn't miss any scoring. So that was really good. And then, yeah, the Sharks ended up beating the Arizona. Well, yeah, what is it? The Blue Jackets actually lead that series 2-1 now. And then the Sharks beat the Avalanche 4-2. I just got to see how after that game. That was actually a close game, and then San Jose added an empty netter to kind of extend it, and they lead that series 2-1. So again, you know, no challenge here. The NHL playoff game's much more exciting than anything the NBA had to showcase last night. But you know, the NBA still getting all the publicity because they got the big time TV contract, and you have to do that. So I'm telling you, people, get out there and watch the hockey games. They are much, much better than, you know, that basketball. I mean, it's a joke. You know, tonight we have two more games. We got the Islanders at the Hurricanes, and surprisingly, the Hurricanes lead that series 2-0. And then the St. Louis is at Dallas, where St. Louis leads that series 2-1. So, you know, a couple more things. I do hate the fact, Dan, and I know this is something I don't think we've ever figured out. How are St. Louis and Dallas in the Western Conference of the NHL?
Because of the rivalry.
You know, but because, you know, obviously I don't think of them as Western Conference, which of course means they have the later start time. You know, obviously locally here, the Blackhawks are also in the Western Conference. So that's always kind of humorous, but, you know, I guess it makes about as much sense as the Dallas Cowboys being in the, you know, the Eastern, you know, the NFC East. So you just kind of get what you get and you live with it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't St. Louis technically on the west of the Mississippi?
Yeah, I guess technically you could look at it that way, but come on, really, when you think of St. Louis, do you think of them as Western Conference?
No. But they don't have a Midwestern Conference.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe that's what hockey needs. They had to make that other division and make a, you know, make a Midwest. And, you know, go
yeah.
along that route to have things go.
Well, you know, I mean, they haven't let go of the original six. So, you know, when you're talking original six, everyone from Chicago on is West, right?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, back then they all were. So, you know, that's just kind of how those things went. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Oh, but yeah, you know, again, being Wednesday, we did have some early baseball. We even have a 2 doubleheaders today. What do we have here? We have the White Sox are ahead of the Orioles 4-3 in game 1 of that doubleheader. That's in the bottom of the sixth. The Diamondbacks are ahead of the Yankees 3-2. That game's in the top of the ninth. And then the Royals, the game I actually decided to watch, and I was like, well, I'm going to turn this on. I want to see Blitzen pitch. He got lit up, only lasted about 4 innings, and the Royals are up on the Rays 8-0. Just to kind of add to it, the Royals actually won game 1 of that doubleheader 3-2. So they're in the process of sweeping Tampa Bay in a doubleheader. And, you know, Tampa Bay had the best record in baseball coming into it. And I think Kansas City had one of the worst. So there's baseball for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other two finals from the early games, the Red Sox beat the A's 7-3. And then the Pirates beat the Rangers 7-5. If you have any of these guys, Marcus Walden got the win for the Red Sox. Jacob Junis got the win for the Royals, and Jameson Taillon picked up the win for the Pirates. And then save-wise, Ian Kennedy got a save for the Royals, and Felipe Vasquez picked up a save for the Pirates. So hopefully you had those guys in your lineup as they, you know, were moving along. And I know should just be getting underway here. The Cubs and the Mariners have the early game out there. It's John Lester against Marco Gonzalez. It's listed as a 5:40 start for Dan and mine's time, so that should be rolling along pretty well. The rest of the schedule looks like this. You got the Reds at the Mets, the Cardinals at the Nationals, the Tigers at the Phillies, the Indians at the Marlins, the Padres at the Braves, the Rockies at the Brewers. The Mickey Mouse game of the night has Astros at the Twins. Then, of course, we have the White Sox second game where they host the Orioles. We got the, what is it? Is it the, it's the Dodgers at the Giants. I believe that's the MLB Network game tonight. And then we got the Blue Jays at the Angels to wrap up the scheduling. So it's definitely a full night. You'll have a lot to stream and scroll and watch and whatever else you got going on. So, you know, did one of those fun games jump out for you? There are some good pitches going tonight. We got, you know, DeGrom goes, I know he's been scuffling. Scherzer's going. Kluber's going. You know, there are some guys out there. Was there anything that caught your fancy while I was rambling about the schedule? Even Baumgartner goes later if you want to stay up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely going to check out the Cubs versus the Mariners as soon as I get in. Gonzalez has been pitching pretty well. So, but like you mentioned, we've got the Dodgers versus the Giants, and it's Ryu versus Baumgartner, so that'll be a good matchup.
Yeah, how much of that, and it's always difficult to say because while it's still a rivalry, with the struggles the Giants have had, how much of a rivalry do you kind of see that as now?
Three or more beers.
And I guess it would probably be more from the Dodgers standpoint, right? Because obviously the team with the worst record, in this case, the Giants, are technically they actually are in last place in the West there. They're seven games behind the first place Dodgers. So it's probably a bigger rivalry for them than it is the Dodgers. But yeah, I don't know at this point how much do you kind of see it as being one of those?
Well, I mean, I think it's still significant since they're up against each other 18 times throughout the season. So, you know, for the Giants, if they stay at the bottom of the barrel, it'll just be moral victories, for the games they win. But with the Dodgers, these are must-win games.
Yeah, obviously, it's one of those things. I still think at this point, it's more a rivalry for the fans, right, than it actually is the players at this point in this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, for the players, they're going to work.
Yeah. So yeah, it just kind of.
We're not going to see Baumgartner come out there swinging bats on a fight. That's what I meant. Yeah. You didn't pick that one up.
Well, that'd be cool, though, wouldn't it? Let him get out there and have a goal with whoever's pitching or what, I don't know, you want to fight Baumgartner? I don't know if I'd actually want to fight with him. So.
No, I wouldn't want to fight him either.
As long as he doesn't hit me with him.
Yeah, I mean, do you Robin Ventura it on Madison Baumgartner if he beat you with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, or do you just take first base?
I think you just take first base at this point in time. So, why even bother? I think the only Dodger was, Puig was the only one who ever, had issues when he was in a Dodger uniform. And that would have been an interesting matchup. So, to see how that one kind of would have worked out. But, I did see one of the other, moves that happened, and I don't know if you caught this one. The Marlins ended up sending Lewis Brinson to the minors. Now he was a, big-time top prospect with the Brewers. Always had some issues striking out. That didn't change. But the big thing, of course, is the fact that, he was the main key in the trade for Christian Yelich.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, I always liked the guy. I thought he could be a solid player, but do you think, did the pressure get to him? He was hitting .197. How many games he played? 27 games, 76 at bat, And, oh, God, what a crappy stat page this is. They don't even have strikeouts on here. Good Lord. So let me get a real stat page up. But, yeah, I mean, was it the pressure of the Marlins wanting him to be their centerpiece guy? Or maybe we just had a missed scout? Somebody missed out a player? I mean, it does happen.
I would think it's more the pressure. It's hard to say that, though, because you're on a team that's really not in the spotlight. You know, the Miami media has more fun attacking the Marlins man, who shows up to major league games that are not Marlins wearing his Marlins orange and behind home plate. So it's a little surprising, but you've got to wonder if it was a little bit of a miscount.
So, yeah, here it was 28 strikeouts for 27, so a little more than one strikeout a game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Marlins lost out on Yelich, but I thought Brinson was going to be that solid pickup that would take him in the future. So hopefully he does go down there and is able to pick his game back up.
Yeah, and obviously it's not like he would be the first guy to, have this happen to him. Really good success, in the minor leagues. But that never translated, even like last year with the Marlins, he hit .199, struck out 120 times in 109 games. So I definitely think they need to get the strikeouts under control, because if he can put the ball in play a little more, you never know what's going to happen. He is 25, so it's a little older to be kind of resetting. And Harry, I should say he's not 25 yet. He'll be 25 in a week. So it's a little older for him to be going down and coming back. But, if he comes back this year or to start off next year and he's okay, he's still a usable player, right, for them?
Oh, yeah. They're kind of stuck with him now, so they're going to have to figure
out. Well, what are you going to do with him? You can't get anything for him. Let me see. What else did they get here? They got three other minor leaguers along with Yelich. Brinson. San Diaz, Monte Harrison, and Jordan Yamamoto. I don't think any of these guys have managed to break a deal yet here. Diaz is in AAA, where he's hitting .226. So maybe his defense is really good. And that'll work out. Let me, if I remember right, I thought Harrison was supposed to be a big time power hitter with a lot of strikeouts. Let me see where he is. He is currently in AAA as well, where he's hitting .290. It's his first year in AAA. Obviously, it's early. He's only played 19 games there, but he does have four homers already. So, maybe he'll get a September call-up. And then the last guy was Jordan Yamamoto, who's pitcher. And he is currently at AA, where he is 1-3 in five starts with a .504 ERA. So that's what they got for Yelich. I don't know how that's going to work out.
No, and you're talking about outfielders getting sent down to the minors from their major league teams, and another one, your team, which oddly yesterday or the day before. No, it was on Monday. Monday or Monday, I actually dropped Malik Smith from my team because of the low production. Not realizing that I didn't have any other left fielders on my team, but it really didn't matter because they sent him packing also.
Yeah, another guy, you know, off to a rough start. You know, he was hitting .165 in 27 games with 33 strikeouts. So, yeah, definitely. He, you know, he did have 8 stolen bases where speed is part of his game, but obviously if you're a speed guy, you need to make contact. You know, I really thought this was going to be a good deal for him because he was going to get to play regularly. You know, he did really well with Tampa Bay last year. You know, he hit 96, swiped 40 bags, actually had 10 triples. Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking the Mariners would be able to plug him into the leadoff spot and he could be their leadoff guy for a while. But for whatever reason, I mean, man, it just hasn't worked out for him so far. And you know, you got to hope maybe a couple-week refresh or, you know, a month or whatever, he'll be able to come back and, you know, produce a little more like he did last year because, you know, he's got a great opportunity. It's just taking advantage of it. And, you know, unlike Brinson, he wasn't looked at as the face of the franchise. He's just been bad. So, you know, we'll have to, we'll have to see. Yeah, he was, and oddly, he's been one of those guys that for some reason has just been, bounced around. You know, he was originally drafted by the Padres who sent him to the Braves. The Braves actually sent him to the Mariners who in turn sent him to Tampa Bay. And then they got him back, then the Mariners got him back from Tampa Bay. So, yeah, for a guy who's only actually spent, his fourth season in the majors, I think? His fourth. He's been moved around quite a bit. So, obviously, you know, teams liked him. Just the process of, for whatever reason this year, it's not happening for him. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think he's closer to this player or the player he was last year?
It's seeming like he's a little bit closer to this player.
You know, and is Tampa Bay just magic where guys go and do really well and then when they go other places, they... So...
Yeah, well, isn't that the... David Price finally picked it up.
Yeah, so... You know, because that's just what it seems like. If for whatever reason Tampa Bay brings out the best in guys, you know, then they move along or sign elsewhere or do whatever else they have to do, and they're never the same guy.
I mean, is the draw that much bigger in Seattle?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I believe it. People show up there, I think. So, I don't know. You've never been there. You'd have to tell me.
You should have been there like 10 years ago. I bring that up only because, you know, performing in front of 3,000 people compared to, you know, many more thousand.
Yeah. I guess, you know, we'll have to see. Keep our eye on these guys and see if, you know, either of them can bounce back and,
Well, I mean, Jorge Soler has a job. So, I mean, if they can put it together and, you know, get that bat right, then I think they should have jobs in the major leagues by the end of by All-Star break. But, you know, with both of them, I think you have two young, promising young men who just at this point it's not working out right now. Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, you know, but at least, you know, Soler's issues have been injuries. You know,
yeah.
I mean, we don't know what the hell he would do if he could ever stay healthy. You know, I mean, these guys have had healthy full seasons in the majors where they've, you know, where they, you know, they've played well. In Smith's case, has played well. You know, Brinson never really had a breakout year like, you know, people thought.
No.
But, yeah, I guess, you know, we'll see. You know, this could be one of those things, you know, for, you know, if you're a fantasy guy, they could be value later if Durham comes back and can bounce back. So, you know, it's something to keep your eye on. So, and I did see your guy from, God, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago now, Irvin Santana elected free agency. You know, the White Sox designated him for assignment after 3 starts. And with good reason. He was 0-2 with a 9.45 ERA. he's 36 now. You know, this was what, year 15? You know, is he just done? You know, he had that arm issue back in the end of 2017 when, you know, he was having a great year. He only pitched in 5 games last year because of the injury, and you just wonder, is it over?
Maybe he needs to make that run to the pen.
So, yeah, you know, I guess I don't think, has he ever been a reliever? I don't think he's ever been an actual reliever before. You know, just a couple games here and there. I guess it's possible he could transform himself as a long guy or something to that issue. But, you know, with the numbers he's put up with the last couple of years, do you think somebody's going to be willing to take a look at him? Because it seems like he's not all that willing to go to the minors and work on it. It seems like he kind of wants to stay in the majors. So, I don't know. Is anybody buying that? Are you buying what's selling?
No. I mean, does he end up in on a team like Tampa or something? I don't know. And, you know, another bottom feeder. I mean, Tampa's at the top right now. But, you know, with the White Sox, though, they had Irvin Santana and Ivan Nova. So at least Nova's going 4 innings a game and is a complete waste as a starting pitcher. So why the hell do I still have him on my lineup? I don't know.
Maybe Santana could go to Tampa and be an opener.
Yeah.
Of course, that didn't work out for him too well today. Ryan Stanek opened and gave up 3 runs in the first, and they never got back into it. So I guess that's kind of the good and the bad of the opener. But, I guess maybe, you know, a bullpen move could be something to look at. If he's willing to accept it, you never know with these guys. But.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I'm kind of leaning with the way baseball goes today. I'm kind of leaning to the fact that he's done. Unless he can go to like winter in the off season and, you know, really kind of show something. I just kind of got a feeling that nobody's going to be willing to reach out and be like, oh yeah, hey, we'll take a shot with this guy.
That happens. So, you know, I guess it's different apples and oranges. You know, where I'm sure you can get Santana to sign for the rest of the season. But, I mean, you know, if the money's low enough, I don't see anyone taking a risk on him or not willing to take the risk. I'm surprised Thiele hasn't called.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like Texas is the team that signs all these kind of guys, so maybe he'll get a call from them and they'll take a look at him.
Yeah, you're right. What about the Angels? They still need some solid starting pitching.
You know, he did start his career there, so it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll take a look. But yeah, I'm kind of under the impression that, you know, it's over with. You know, he had some good years though. So, you know, and speaking of a guy who's had some good years, I don't know if you saw this one last night, but another one of your guys there, CC Sabathia, picked up his 3,000th strikeout. You know, now he has 3,002, so he joined a pretty elite club. You know, he's the 17th pitcher in Major League history to record 3,000 strikeouts. you know, I'm kind of figuring he's a Hall of Famer. Are you on that as well? Or, you know, because I know I heard some guys questioning it today, but I kind of thought it was a no-brainer, and he's going to get in, maybe not first ballot, but probably second easily.
Yeah, I think he definitely gets in. I mean, will it make a difference if he, you know, strikes out 83 more, or is it 81? I forgot what the next guy up is, like 3,084 or something like that.
82 is Smoltz. He needs 82 to catch Smoltz, 83 to go past him.
Oh, okay.
So.
I mean,
but yeah, you know, look,
I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you know, looking, I mean, he's got an outside shot of, when it's all said and done, being number 14 overall, because he would have to go past Curt Schilling and Bob Gibson. Schilling has 3,116, and Gibson has 3,117 career strikeouts. So it's possible he could get past both of those guys, you know, if he stays healthy and he makes his start. Probably go by Smoltz. Yeah, you got to figure he ends up 16th, you know, at the worst. But kind of looking at it here, you know, Sabathia is actually just the third left-handed pitcher to get on this list. Randy Johnson, of course, is up there at number two, and then Steve Carlton came in at number four. They're the only other two lefties on this list, and then you get down to Sabathia. You know, the next guy, like, we should be able to add Justin Verlander to this list in probably, with the way Verlander mows down guys, probably next season. He's at 27.59 right now. Then, you know, you got some guys who are, you know, a little farther away. You know, my guess is Max Scherzer would get there with the strikeout numbers he puts up. He's just a shade over 2,500. The King, Felix Hernandez, is just approaching 2,500. He's got 2,496, but I don't know if he's got enough years left to actually get him to 3,000. And then you got Zach Greinke at 2,481, and he's another guy I don't think gets there. So those are the, you know, the other three, what is that, three or four active guys. Oh, wait, hey, here's Cole Hamels at 2,452. I don't see him going there either, but they're the active guys that are in the top 50 for strikeouts. Of course, Nolan Ryan is the king here with 57 and 14, and you know we're not going to see anybody ever get close to that number with the way pitchers are handled now. But yeah, just so you know, it's Ryan Johnson, then Roger Clemens comes in, Carlton at four, Burt Blyleven at five. And then Tom Seaver, Don Sutton, Gaylord Perry, Walter Johnson, and Greg Maddux round out the top 10. So there you go. Greg Maddux, a guy who, as they would say, couldn't break a pane of glass, is a top 10 strikeout guy in Major League Baseball history. So, yeah, I guess you don't have to throw 200 miles an hour to get guys out. Of course, teams don't think that anymore, but that's just kind of how it goes. But yeah, I fully expect Sabathia to get in the Hall of Fame, and you know, this is his last year, so he's got to wait, what, 5 years? So 25 or 26, maybe 20, you know, 2027, you know, he's up there accepting his award. I wouldn't be surprised at all if, you know, if he goes in. So it should, you know, and it'll be well deserved. He's obviously one of the, you know, the better starter still. You know, from a, you know, what you would, you know, jokingly almost call a bygone era. You know, with the way things go, because you know it used to be, you know, 300 wins and all this stuff, and you know he's sitting at 247. So you figure, being that he's a Yankee, again, if he's healthy, he probably gets into the 250s. At one point in time, I mean, he was a stud, you know. I mean, he's a Cy Young Award winner. When he was healthy, I mean, he was the guy making his 33, 34 starts. He's got, you know, he's got years here that we'll never see. I mean, he's got a year here where he threw 253 innings. And, you know, I mean, if a guy gets to 200 now, everybody freaks out. Imagine if a guy got to 253, you know, the crack up that somebody would have. I mean, you know, Brian Kenny's head would explode on the MLB Network because the guy threw that many innings and they didn't use an opener in any of his starts. So, yeah, you know, I think he'll, again, you know, he'll get in, but I don't think he's a ballot guy. But then again, being a Yankee, you never know. You know, these guys, you know, that always helps them. I saw something the other day that I had to check on. I just wanted to see if I could find it. I have to use Dan's favorite search engine to try to find this. And I saw a stat from Roger Clemens. Dan, you remember when Roger Clemens struck out 20 guys in a game?
Was it with Houston?
No, I believe he was. Was he? He was actually still a Red Sox. He did it against the Mariners back on April 29th, back in 1986. And what I found really interesting about it, and I'm trying to get the number here to see if I can hunt it down, is I believe he threw 130 some odd pitches or something like that. And I was just kind of shocked by the fact that, and everybody, it was odd because everybody kind of let that slide when, it was going on. No, you know, nobody brought up the fact until like the very end of the conversation they were having about it, that he had thrown that many pitches. And I was, quite surprised because obviously pitch count is a gigantic deal, and it doesn't look like they have the exact number anywhere. Obviously, the fact that it's 29 years later, or what, 86, 96, 06, 16, or excuse me, 34 years later, they wouldn't have the numbers anywhere. But yeah, basically he threw a lot of pitches, so. I guess what brought it up is we just had the game where Ronaldo Lopez struck out 14 guys in 16 innings and they pulled him, you know, obviously, even though he was rolling and he was getting guys right and left and, he could have went on to, you know, as a team, the White Sox ended up striking out 20 guys. But, you know, Lopez, you know, he was long gone by the time that happened. I think he only went six innings. Are we ever going to see a guy do this again?
It's going to be one of the old guys if it does happen. It's going to be a guy who can go out on the mound and tell the coach to go back to sit his tiny on the bench and so many other words, or I'm leaving.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I, you know, it's just, you know, just, yeah, just kind of, you know, odd. And I mean, you know, you go back, I mean, obviously, you know, the one I'm sure you remember more than Clemens was, you know, Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game. And, you know, obviously he threw a boatload of pitches and a lot of people claim that, you know, that's the reason his career was cut short was because of that single game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that one. But, you know, we've seen, like, Max Scherzer do it kind of recently. But, yeah, do you think it's got to be a Scherzer, a Verlander, a strikeout guy like that who can, like you said, kind of tell the pitching coach off when he comes out to the mound?
Yeah, I think that's the only way it's going to happen. I mean, you know, the disappointing part with Lopez out there is he's pitching a solid game. I mean, how are you ever going to know if this is going to be a guy who could move up to potentially number one status if you're pulling him? You know, how is he ever going to learn to work for stuff? And it's not, you know, not just he in general, you know, he specifically, but he as in any of these younger guys that are in the majors now. I mean, I think you brought it up a million times. You know, how is the guy supposed to work through anything? How is he supposed to continue to get better if you don't make mistakes to get better?
Yeah, well, you know, and I guess, you know, like the big thing for me is, I mean, so what if he blows the game? It's the White Sox, right? Where are they going?
Yeah.
You know, and here's his stat line, Dan, and I think this bothers me even more. He pitched six innings. He'd only given up two hits and one run. He did walk three guys. He had the 14 strikeouts. He was only at 105 pitches. Now, that is the most pitches he's thrown this year. He's thrown that in his last two starts. But why couldn't you send him out there to start the seventh? You know, so what if he gets to 120? Is that really that bad? I mean, obviously, he's got great stuff going on. You know, it's not like when he threw 104 pitches back on April 10th and he gave up eight runs and four and a third. You know, I can understand being pulled in that game, but here, you know, it looks like he's rolling along. So maybe give him a shot to try to continue that and build some momentum?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there was a lot to learn from Roger Clemens' 130-plus pitches that only, you know, preceded another 15, 20 years in the major league.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, minus the steroids, you know, he was obviously one of the greatest pitchers to, you know, ever play the game. You know, and I mean, you know, you can even go back. I mean, hell, Edwin Jackson threw a no-hitter where he threw about 140 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, obviously not, you know, not what you would like, because I think he walked seven or eight guys in it as well. But, hey, you know, the guy still throw, you know, he still threw a no-hitter. You know, it goes down as his resume as a no-hitter. They didn't get any hits off him. You know, and I mean, you know, I think it's a couple of Tim Lincecum's no-hitters. I think one of them, he threw about 130 pitches. But, you know, I mean, it's almost like they're afraid to let guys try to do that for whatever their, you know, obviously it's the injury deal, but it's kind of ridiculous when you see a guy out there humming along and he's cruising and he's got great stuff and, well, he's got 102 pitches. We got to get him out of the game. But wait,
yeah.
He just struck out the last six batters. That's okay. He's at 102 pitches. He's got to come out. All right, get the bullpen in here to blow the game. So.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing that's kind of baffling too, because, you know, how much of that is coming from Rick Hahn? You got to wonder with the way front offices try to run the on-field team now. But, I mean, Renteria's been there this is his third season. Lopez has been there. I would think by this time he would know his pitcher. And he should know just by looking at him that the kid's got another inning in him.
Yeah, you would think, you know what I mean? The one thing they always said about Renteria is he, you know, well, he really knows how to develop
players. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe, but does he know how to develop pitchers? Because I don't know if, you know what I mean? We're talking about a guy who's 25, so obviously he's in, you know, he's in prime shape. You know, it's not like we're talking about some, you know, 38-year-old hanging on guy who just happens to be having a good night. You know, or some, you know, 20-year-old kid who's just making his first major league start, you know, then I could see, okay, you know, we want to go away from this. We don't want to leave him out there too long, you know, as they kind of develop. But, yeah, you know, like you said, I mean, Lopez looks like a guy who could possibly be a number one. And now it's just kind of like, okay, well, what the hell do we know? Because we keep taking him out of games. I mean, you know, this is like Joe Madden light. You know, guys get to a certain limit and the White Sox sink them. Where, you know, Madden at least lets guys get on base. The White Sox just seem to pull guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously they're not the only team that has this issue. You know, you could probably go through, you know, every team gets bad and ugly. But, yeah, it's just kind of weird when you look at the stuff. I mean, Roger Clemens didn't have any injury issues. I mean, you go through some of those strikeout pitchers we were talking about, Randy Johnson didn't have injury issues. You know, no, I don't think Nolan Ryan had anything major. Like Steve Carlton had stuff really late in his career when he was in his late 30s and his career was winding down. So, you know, you start looking at these guys and you just kind of think, what the hell is going on that the guys in today's game can't do this anymore? Is the talent that good or is the coaching that bad? I guess is where my question would lie to you, Dan.
Well, you know, part of the problem is the control when you're at 100 plus miles an hour. The ball is only going in two spots, down the middle or out of the zone. So, you know, not being able to produce pitchers who can actually pitch as opposed to just throwing a ball, I think has a lot to say with the way the game has turned.
Yeah, humorously, you know, bringing that up, I mentioned when I was going through the top 10 of strikeouts, Greg Maddux is number 10, and I honestly think that you could probably be harder right now than he ever did in his career. So that'll the difference between a thrower and a pitcher is how you would describe that, because, you know, obviously Maddux is a Hall of Famer. He strongly belongs there with the things he accomplished and didn't throw – hell, I don't even think he threw 90.
No, and you brought up Maddux, and you know he left the Cubs to go play in Atlanta and be part of a great pitching rotation and what should have been a multiple World Series team, but that didn't work out for whatever reason. I was watching/listening to Boston earlier today. And Eckersley, was on there. Obviously, he's their announcer. He and his co-host, whoever that guy is, I forgot, brought up the fact with – and I had to throw this one out to you because you just kind of went there. Maddux went and was able to win in Atlanta. Is that because they played more night games? Or is it because the management with the Cubs and the day baseball – only cared about getting people to the park and not necessarily winning? But I feel like the culture with Bobby Cox in the 90s and the Braves was about winning championships and not just about drawing fans. Because I don't think that really drew until it came to the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to remember it's Atlanta. No matter how much you win there, nobody's going to your game.
Yeah. So, and then, Eckersley's co-host, said, I didn't think the Cubs would ever win one because of all the day baseball. Is that, Eckersley talked about how he didn't really like day baseball, but he also liked to stay out late at night. Totally different topic, but do you find that to be one of the, just a really unintelligent thing to bring up? I don't even know
where what's odd is that is a real common analogy when it comes to the Cubs, before they had lights was, they would never win anything because they had to play 81 day games. And I don't know if I ever really bought that. Every team plays a certain amount of day games in your schedule. And I mean, honestly, I always kind of thought it would be to the Cubs' advantage because they know they're playing all these day games. It's the other teams who had to come in. Think about it. If you're playing the majority of night games and then you got to come in and you got a three-game day series where, every game is starting at 1:15, that could be a big deal. But, you know, for whatever reason, and obviously, you know, it was lack of talent or however it worked out, you know, the Cubs just, you know, didn't win anything until after they got lights in, and you know, just kind of went that way. But, yeah, I don't know how much stock I put into the fact that, well, you know, they had played all day games, and that's why they didn't win. I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, I guess that conversation came up because they were running a poll, because I guess it's been suggested that Major League Baseball might start scheduling more day games, you know, for baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, you would think, you know, in the summertime with kids out of school, it's probably not a bad idea if you want to try to get younger, you know, get a little younger audience in, you know, because I think, you know, like my dad always looked at it as he preferred to take a day off and have us go to a day game than a night game, you know, just because the atmosphere is a little different and you're not dealing with, you know, obviously there's still a boatload of drunks, but you're not dealing with as many. So, you know, I think, you know, again, you know, if it's done right and it's promoted right, like you mentioned, you know, you went to the Rays game and their promotion people didn't do a whole lot, you know, except kind of sit around and look pretty, which was something you probably did as well. But that's besides the point because we know how you are. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it in getting people to come out and see your team, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was something we even talked about with this crappy month of April. And, I mean, you turn on a Reds game. And, you know, fortunately they were playing earlier games. And, you know, would the draw really be that different at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night when it's, you know, 30 degrees out as opposed to the seemingly 1,500 people that were there for a noon or a 1 o'clock game? I don't really think so.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing. You know, baseball has to work it out with the union where – you know, if they want to keep 162 games like obviously the owners do, they need to work it out with the union where you can push back the start of the season and just work in some, you know, some day-night doubleheaders on a Saturday, you know, a Friday or a Saturday or something to that effect. You know, they used to play quite a few doubleheaders. It wasn't that big of a deal until – you know, the union got a big head and the players complained about it. And again, I always joke now that, you know, they did all this stuff when travel was a pain in the rear end. Now, you know, travel is easier and you can get around the places much better. And yet guys seem to complain more and more that it's harder for them. So I find that kind of humorous, but yeah, you know, they need to work that out so we don't get these April games where, you know, it snowed out or, you know, you're playing in frickin' 29-degree weather in, you know, Minnesota or whatever because, you know, they're at home and it's still winter there. So, you know, it's definitely some stuff that needs some work, but it's not, you know, it's not anything that's unattainable. It's just the fact of the billionaires working with the millionaires and trying to straighten things out. But, you know, who knows if they'll ever figure it out. I mean, you know, some of these guys are so stubborn that, you know, they'd be willing to put themselves out of business before they did the right thing. So, you know, what can you do, right? I mean, is it that hard? Give me the job. I'll help you out. You know, put Dan and I in the Major League Baseball front office, and we'll work it all out for you guys. We've got all the ideas. Trust me. All right. Well, look at that. Dan and I are out here for the day. We're gonna come back tomorrow at 5:30. Or drop me on the video, sportsradio.com. Get over there, click on the blog, and I'll be recording. Hope you all enjoyed this link. I'll put it on the Facebook page if you have got a like to show. Just give it to you. Just ask for Sportsradio. And my dad and my dog.